the sports in Atlanta and beyond.
Sports don't stop, even on the weekends. The Abe TL Show with Abe Gordon is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Abe.
Welcome in to the Abe TL Show here. Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios as we speed run through a cornucopia of thoughts. We're going to talk Atlanta Falcons in a little bit. Certainly, we'll get you some updates and analysis of what's going on in college football on the day as well. But we start very quickly with a brief update in the world of baseball. The Atlanta Braves had led 2-1, but they have just surrendered that lead. It is now a tie ball game between the Braves and Marlins. It now moves to the top of the seventh inning. And the Phillies have just surrendered the lead to the Mets. The Mets are now comfortably up 5-2 in the later stages of that game. So, look, I'm here till 6:30 with the Abe TL Show. We've got the Five Stripes Countdown. My man Joe Patrick's going to be joining me in studios in a little under 30 minutes. By the time that happens, the Atlanta Braves could be three back of the Mets in the wild card race. And the more it looks, the more it could set up a situation where they have to sweep. When they come in for this series, they may have to sweep if they can't get some help of their own. And then the Phillies take care of business maybe tomorrow, because it looks like the Mets are in hand right now. So we'll see what the Braves have to do as we move towards the final week of the season. But they are, quite frankly, on the back burner right now. It looks more and more like they will not make the postseason. And it's going to have to be a heck of a final week for them to make the postseason. And at this point, as it stands right now, they're probably going to have to sweep the New York Mets to do that. So we'll keep an eye on that as it comes through. Maybe the Braves can get a win here today and keep that deficit at two games. We'll see how it plays out over the course of the next 20-plus minutes. I want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, because I had mentioned last week how we didn't want to jump to any grand conclusions after Monday, or excuse me, after the week one loss to the Steelers. And I said I was concerned about a fair variety of things, but it's a one game sample size and we're not going to panic. And I think Monday night, to an extent, showed you why I felt that way. Showed you why I wanted to give some time to Zach Robinson to settle in as an offensive coordinator. Give time to Kirk Cousins to get a little more rust knocked off there at the quarterback position. And I'll say this, because that was certainly a game that you could have lost. There's no fight around that. If the Eagles on Monday night are able to do what they're supposed to do, and Saquon Barkley corrals that ball, you're losing that game. And you would go to 0-2 looking at the potential of 0-3 Sunday night against the Chiefs. With that said, though, I also want to say this. I think you saw major steps forward. And luckily, we don't have to try and remove ourselves from being 0-2 with seeing major steps forward. We can kind of celebrate a win and talk about the offensive developments. And that's a good place to be. It was a good fight. It was a good final drive, both from Kirk Cousins and from Zach Robinson. And now we can continue to move forward. It's not a done deal. You better hope they haven't plateaued. There's still a lot of places to improve offensively. There's still concerns about what happens when you face that alpha pass rusher, which the Eagles don't really have, certainly not on the outside at least. But it was a good step forward for the Atlanta Falcons, and it gives you some hope going into Sunday night. It gives you some hope going into games at home against the Saints and the Bucs the 2 weeks after. And so we are now off and running on the NFL season in regards to the Atlanta Falcons. I just can't explain to you how happy I am that we don't have to sit here talking about 0-2, potentially 0-3. And look, even if you're not able to beat the Chiefs tomorrow night at home, which understandably so, if you don't, that is a two-time defending Super Bowl champions. I think you're still in a good position when the Saints and Bucks come to town, if you can handle business, if you can get out of this stretch at 3-2, if that loss is to the Chiefs, then I think you still feel pretty good about where you are. So I'm pretty pleased with the progression of the Atlanta Falcons. I wouldn't say I have no concerns, but I would say a lot of the concerns we had after week one, at least in my opinion, have diminished, if not erased themselves completely. Look, we saw Kirk Cousins take snaps and take full drops, right? We saw play action and some decisions there. And so the Atlanta Falcons are off and running with their offense. It feels good. And now it's time to repeat the effort. Now look, you put up in the 20s after scoring 10 in week one. You got to live in the 20s. You have to live in the 20s. And if you can do that, based on what we've seen from this defense, I think you can win a lot of games. I'm very excited to see what goes down tomorrow night because the Chiefs come into town without much of a semblance of a run game after the injury to Isaiah Pacheco. And you have to feel pretty good about the secondary. Look, I know A.J. Terrell is not exactly performing up to the contract just yet, but I do think he's being helped out by the safeties. I think when you got Patrick Mahomes, you always got to be alert. But if you're not worried too much about the run game, and without Pacheco, I don't know if you are, I think it's time that the secondary and the pass rush can come together and start to work some things. So we got a lot to look forward to on Sunday night. The other thing we got to look forward to on Sunday is a full day of coverage. And again, welcome in. If you're just joining me, it is the Abe TL Show live in the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon here until 6:30, where we switch gears and chat about Atlanta United, the Five Stripes countdown coming your way in about 20 minutes. But if you're planning on going to the game tomorrow, Atlanta Falcons Sunday Night Football, if you're going to be around the stadium, don't forget, 92.9 The Game is going to be there starting early in the morning, because at 10 a.m., live from the Signia Hotel, Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, they're going to get it cracking at 10 a.m. They're going to be followed by my man Dukes and Bell at 1 o'clock. And then in the smooth lot, as always, it's going to be the Wade Ford tailgate show. So we're going to be down with a presence at the stadium, near the stadium, around the stadium, starting at 10 a.m. to get it locked up and kicking for that Sunday night football game, primetime, standalone game, national TV. So we've got you covered tomorrow. We've also got you covered today, along with Atlanta United, in a relatively important, I won't call it completely must-win. There's certainly some of those coming. But it would be nice to get a win on the road against Red Bulls. And if you do, that would be an absolutely massive step towards the playoffs. You've already got one result that you were hoping for around the rest of the league. You got some others coming as well. We'll talk about those as we go, but more so when we get into the Five Stripes countdown. But a big, big opportunity tonight. If Atlanta United can pick up 3 points on the road at Red Bull, something they have not done, then it would be a huge step towards actually reaching the postseason. Another check-in on the Braves right now. The Braves actually just did take the lead. I didn't know if I was going to have an update or not, but the Braves did just take the lead. They just doubled their lead, actually, as we're happening. I click over, it's 4-2. I click over and refresh, it's now 6-2. So Matt Olson homered just a moment ago, and then after that, Gio Urshela also homered. So the Braves are now up 6-2. Which is important because if they're not going to get any help from the Phillies right now, they've got to handle their own. And that means right now just staying within 2 games of the Mets. If they can stay within 2 games of the Mets, you leave something open in the final week of the season. But if you get to 3 or more, you start to really force yourself into that we need to sweep territory. That's not where you want to be. That's not where you want to be. You want to be where I guess 2 of the 3 is somewhat good enough. But right now, if the Braves can hold on, they'll be 2 games back, assuming the Mets also hold on. And then we'll see what happens on Sunday. So if you can get it down to 1, if you can find a way to get that lead in the wild card for the Mets down to 1 before that series next week, that's the way to go. All right. We got a lot of college football to get to. I will say this. Illinois handles business at Nebraska on Friday night. The Friday night trio of games, outstanding, by the way. Every single game in some way, shape, or form came down to the final possession. You had Washington State in double overtime. They take care of business. You had Illinois and Nebraska went to overtime. That one came down to the end. And then you also had Stanford and Syracuse, a game that was decided on a field goal on the final play of the game. So Friday night delivered. Let's talk about what's going on now, because you got a couple of big games in the Big Ten, in the Big 12. Later tonight, the SEC gets its shot to have a big game. So when we come back here on the ABTL show, we'll run through college football, tell you what's going on right now. We'll also talk about Georgia Tech and a real tight one with Louisville. So we got a lot more to go here on the other side. Again, it's Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios coming your way. Next, we chat college football. Then we switch gears to the Five Stripes Countdown. We've got a lot of football, both American and international, to get to over the next hour and 15 minutes. But we start as we continue the ABTL show in about 5 minutes, talking college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the ABTL show. I was waiting for music to hit, but radio silence on that one. That's all right, though. We're rolling through it. It's just the officials called a timeout. I think that's all that happened. That's what happened in the Georgia Tech game just moments ago, as Georgia Tech is looking for an opportunity in the red zone to even things up with Louisville. It's going to be a fourth and goal from the Louisville 3-yard line, and I would imagine, I don't have that game on because, quite frankly, I'm watching other games, but I would imagine that they are going to go for it. I think they're going to go for it. We'll see. If I can't really see what's going on. I think E's giving me a thumbs up on going for it. I can see Dom on my right thumbs up. E's got the glare of all glares in front of him. I can't even see him, so that's good. But we'll see if they can get into that one. I'm also watching a couple of games here in the Big Ten and a big one in the Big 12. And we talked about it. College football, a couple of big ones today. USC at Michigan, now a conference game. And in the Big House today, early on, it looked like Michigan had a handle on this thing. But right now, USC, even though they're trailing, has certainly been the better squad in the second half. And it looks like that they are in a position, if they can drive right now, to take the lead in this game. So we're going to keep an eye on this. USC looked woefully prepared early on to deal with the physicality of Michigan. Michigan sprung a couple big plays on the ground, but with Alex Orji relatively unable to get a pass game going, we'll see if USC can climb back into this one. It's 20-17 right now. Michigan leads, but you got almost the whole fourth quarter here to play. Also watching Utah and Oklahoma State as Georgia Tech fails on their attempt to score. And so Louisville will hold on to a 7-point lead at home. They're early in the fourth quarter as well. They're backed up, but they at least have the ball. I am watching Oklahoma State host Utah. And Utah, late game-time decision, quarterback Cam Rising, unable to go. And because of that, the Utah offense hasn't really gotten going either. The good news is the Utah defense has gotten going. And so it is a 10-3 Utah lead on the road against Oklahoma State. And this one's going to come down to who has the better final 20 minutes as well. So we're keeping an eye on that one. Earlier action today in college football, Clemson beat NC State 59-35. And so they keep it going, and they've figured whatever they needed to figure out off of that Georgia loss. They've gotten going as well. And Florida got a career-saving win for Billy Napier. I don't know how much longer it's going to save him, but certainly they're not going to fire him now. And so we'll keep an eye on that one as we continue. Other college football games that have gotten kind of interesting to me is some of these smaller schools, these group of fives that we talk about, and they're in that race for the top-ranked group of five team. Northern Illinois right now I think holds the edge, but they're tied in a tight one at home with Buffalo, 17-17. Rutgers is up a touchdown and a two-point conversion right now on the road at Virginia Tech. Rutgers could get off to a 3-0 start. You've got Navy at home is going to beat Memphis. There's still 8.5 minutes left, but they're up 19 points on Memphis. So an opportunity there to potentially knock Memphis out of that group of five discussion. And then Missouri is holding on to a very slim lead there against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt put up quite a fight in the first half. Vanderbilt actually went to halftime with a three-point lead, but Missouri has grabbed control back with 9 points in the second half of this one. Big game tonight in the SEC, among other games that are being played tonight. You've got number 6 Tennessee at number 15 Oklahoma. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. I think there's this mindset of, look at what Tennessee did to NC State. Tennessee behind Nico Iamaleva, something like that. Whatever he is. I am a five star is what we should call him. That's a lot easier to say. But Nico, obviously all the hopes and dreams of this Tennessee program is perceived to be on his shoulders, and I say not so fast. If the defense can play the way the defense has played, and Dylan Sampson can run the way that he runs, you want to take as much pressure off the freshman quarterback shoulders as possible. Sampson is tied for the college lead in touchdowns right now. He's got 9 touchdowns, and he's tied with Ashton Jeanty, who we saw go off a couple of times this season already. So you know what Sampson's all about right now. If they can run the ball against Oklahoma and take that pressure off of Nico, maybe hit a couple of big plays here and there in the pass game, we'll see. But it has to make you wonder, right? After Clemson blew the doors off of NC State, doesn't it kind of make you wonder just how impressive Tennessee blowing the doors off of NC State was? And again, it's so early in the college football season trying to play the transitive property of this team looked good against that team, and that team looked good against that team, so this team or that team and that. And we all know how it goes. You can't do it, especially not 3 weeks in. You really can't do it like 8 or 9 weeks in, but maybe you can make some arguments. But you really couldn't do it at this point. Isn't that kind of what happened with Florida State and Georgia Tech? We thought this was some great win for Georgia Tech, and then it turns out Florida State's full of bums. And then Georgia Tech gets annihilated by Syracuse. Georgia Tech a couple of minutes away from potentially losing to Louisville. And so it's all sorts of a mess. It looks like Georgia Tech did get a safety. Am I seeing that right? I think Georgia Tech got a safety. We talked about it. They were in the fourth and goal from the 3, and they did not convert. It looks like they did turn that around, though, and smack Louisville at the goal line. And so Georgia Tech gets a safety. They're now down 5 points with 11 and change left to play. So look, again, the transitive property. Louisville's 2-0. Great. Who are their wins? Was it Austin Peay in Jacksonville? Like, how are we supposed to know if Louisville's any good? But we also really don't know if Georgia Tech's any good. And so it's just too early to try and figure all of this out. Arkansas is going on the road right now. They've got a control of a game against Auburn. Auburn just scored a touchdown, but I'm pretty sure Auburn benched one of their quarterbacks. They keep flip-flopping. One dude threw 3 interceptions and had a fumble. So, like, I mean, what are you supposed to do with that? They keep flip-flopping on that. A couple of other impressive performances today. I know we talked about Clemson and what they were able to do. But we saw a couple of other Ohio State. Quinshon Judkins goes for a buck 73 in that one. Emeka Ebuka made Will Howard look good a couple times. So you got that. Indiana beats Charlotte 52-14. Maryland gets rid of Villanova. And then how about this one in the ACC? And the ACC network, those scoundrels, they tried to deny you the knowledge that it happened. But it happened. It happened. And I don't care how many cutaways you have, ACC Network. the Dukes, and I don't mean Duke Blue Devils. No, no, no. UNC wishes it was the Duke Blue Devils. But the Dukes, James Madison, they go on the road to UNC. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The Tar Heels. Tar Heels drop a 50-burger and lose by 20. And the ACC network flipped away. But James Madison, they scored 70. In a score that resembled a basketball game, James Madison beats UNC 70-50. Amarion Hampton, UNC running back, three more touchdowns, a buck 30, something like that, on the ground. But it did not matter. UNC just could not get any stops. Pathetic. Cincinnati at home takes care of business over Houston 34-0. And in a long lightning-delayed match, West Virginia beats Kansas 32-28. Kansas with a brutal start for the potential one-time viewed as co-favorites. All right, we are going to come down and get it going right now. The Five Stripes Countdown, Abe Gordon and Joe Patrick, coming your way on radio, sports radio, 92.9 The Game.